Christmas moments. And no, this is not an ugly Christmas sweater. Wasn't the quartet that had ugly sweaters? They kind of color coordinated, didn't they? Great job. My daughter stole my ugly sweater a couple of years ago. That was so hard for you. That was a moment where I tore down the house trying to find it last year, and I couldn't figure it out. And in fact, one of her coworkers at Staunton Elementary School said, "Chris, I think your daughter stole your sweater." That's how I found out. I felt so vulnerable in that moment. And since I'm so brokenhearted, I did not seek to replace it. I'm still waiting for her to restore it to me and make amends and repent. It was a moment. Remember, life is not measured by time. Life is measured by moments. Not chronological years or days or hours or minutes, but moments. We all have moments that we remember. Maybe stories, maybe first time, maybe first baby, first Christmas together. All of those things that surround Christmas, your favorite toy or gift that you've ever received. Christmas moments are powerful, powerful moments, aren't they? They're associated with this time of year. Let me say this, and this is a big idea for this message. You have no idea what God can do through one moment of surrender. You have no idea what God can do in you with one moment of surrender. If you're joining us online today, I hope you have your Christmas tree in your living room. You're enjoying your hot chocolate and your cookies in your elf slippers and your Christmas pajamas today, if you're at home. Or if you're on the road and listening, hey, be careful while you drive. You don't have to watch it. Keep your eyes on the road. Just realize that you are prompted in a moment, and you do it because the Holy Spirit of God prompted you. Or you're prompted in a moment, and you don't do it, and maybe you live with regret and guilt, and maybe you have to make amends and repent. But the question today is, what does surrender look like? What does surrender look like? Well, surrender isn't giving up. It's letting go. It's Jesus saying, "Not my will be done, but thy will be done." It's like in the prayer, the Lord's prayer, the model prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It's surrendering our will. But realize this, surrender is just not a moment in time. It's moments all of the time. We are called to surrender in a lot of ways as we walk in our life, as we follow Jesus through all our days of living. If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 26, Dr. Luke writes this. He says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Now, archaeologists and scholars believe that Nazareth was between 10 to 30 acres large or big. Now, I think the footprint of our church campus is around 15 acres. So this property could have been the size of Nazareth. It could be up to twice as large. And as I was in Israel 2 years ago, we drove by Nazareth in our tour bus, and it was nothing. It's still very, very poor today, as it was so many years ago. And in fact, it had a bad reputation. Now, I don't know where you grew up, but I grew up in Terre Haute on the north side. And so we would treat West Vigo like that. We would say, you know, it's sort of like West Vigo. You know, the river rats is what we call them. And maybe you had a rivalry with another town or another high school football team or a sports team, and you'd make fun of them. That's what they did with Nazareth. Nathanael said this in John 1:46. He said, Nazareth, what good comes out of Nazareth? There was no expectation. If you came from Nazareth, that was like nothing. Nothing good came from there. But notice in verse 27 of this chapter, to a virgin named Mary, she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. That lineage was important. Now, remember this, that Mary is in her mid-teens, a 14 or 15-year-old girl. Now, if you have a 14 or 15-year-old girl sitting next to you, you need to turn to them and say, you're too young to have a baby. And she was. But in that time, in that culture, that was when she would be given to be betrothed, as they were. And Joseph was probably into his mid to late 20s. That was the culture. Joseph had to earn his way and prepare a home before he became betrothed. So very, very young. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think, what could the angel mean? Confused and disturbed. Ever been confused and disturbed in your life? You might have even asked, why me in that moment of your life? You don't understand, you don't get it. Maybe it's an injury. Maybe it's a disease. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's relational. Maybe it's a divorce that you never expected. You thought everything was going well. You're confused and disturbed. That was where Mary was. Gabriel appears three times in the Bible. You probably don't know this. Gabriel appeared to Daniel the prophet, gave him a vision of what was to be, Zechariah the priest, and then finally, Mary. And he says to her, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. What's so bad about that? Wouldn't you want an angel to say to you, greetings, favored woman, greetings, favored man? If he does, you might be surprised what his message is. Sometimes God calls you in moments when you don't feel like you're callable, but God is calling you to do his work. And I believe right now, in this moment, in this room, God is calling you. He's not done with you yet. He has a purpose and he has a plan. But he has a calling just for you. Maybe you've forgotten it. Maybe you're being reminded right now. And maybe the Holy Spirit is prompting you. And you're fighting with him. A lot of times that happens. But remember this. Just like the angel told Mary, the Lord is with you. In that calling, in that purpose. If an angel ever shows up to you and says, hey, greetings, favored woman, favored man, the Lord is with you, you need to put your seatbelt on because it's going to be a ride. And it's going to be a challenge. And it's not going to be always easy, but it's going to be the greatest thing and the greatest adventure that you possibly could have. It's going to have some twists and it's going to have some turns. Hang on, but God is with you. Look what he says in verse 30. The angel says, hey, Mary, don't be afraid. The angel told her, for you have found favor with God. Now, this phrase, favor with God, comes from the Greek word charis, which is the same word that we use for grace, and it means unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. The first time favor is used in the Old Testament, it describes Noah. Genesis 6:8, Noah found favor in God's eyes. And Noah built the ark, and when the earth got flooded, he saved humanity through the ark. Noah found favor. The first time in the New Testament that this idea is portrayed of is finding favor with Mary. This is the first time in the New Testament. Mary's one who's going to have the baby Jesus and give birth to the Messiah and the Savior of the world and save humanity from all their sin. First time in the Old Testament, saving humanity from a flood, all of humanity. Well, all of Noah's family. And then in the New Testament, through Mary, all of mankind is going to be saved from their sin. And notice in verse 31, and you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And this is fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy that the Jews had been waiting all of this time for. There had been 400 years of silence, and then Gabriel speaks. Notice in Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah the prophet said it this way, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, we believe Mary had heard this message all of her life. They were looking for the Messiah. Rabbis had been teaching, probably been taught in her family, that the Messiah was going to come and save Israel. And people were looking for that day. And Mary was the one that Gabriel delivered the message to. Look at verse 32. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. I take a lot of encouragement and a lot of inspiration in knowing that we are a part of the kingdom of God. You are a member of the kingdom of God, and his reign will never end. You are in the highest kingdom, the greatest kingdom that has ever been. We are a part of that as princes and princesses, how you want to say that. Look at Psalms 89:4. It says, look, I will establish your descendants as kings forever. But we have to remember that we aren't the king, but we are under the king in the kingdom of God. But notice Mary being confused and disturbed. Notice what she asked. Mary asked the angel, but hold on, how can this happen? I'm a virgin. And the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be called holy, and he will be called the Son of God. Now, I find this next part of this verse interesting because Gabriel had to know what Mary was thinking and was going to encourage her and inspire her in an interesting way. Look at verses 36 and 37. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age, she was of a certain age where she wasn't expected to have children, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. Now, ladies, some of you may be beyond childbearing age today. I won't point you out or say a certain age, but that would not be a happy moment in your life to have a child right now. That would be a challenge, if you will. But now Elizabeth had never had children, and it wasn't going to be a challenge. It was a joy, and she looked like she was expecting in her sixth month. But notice how Mary responds to this. She's intrigued, but she says, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. What a moment of submission and surrender to God. Why does all this matter? Why does that matter? You've got to understand, for nothing is impossible with God. Christian, do you believe that nothing is impossible for God? Amen? That was weak. Christian, do you believe that nothing is impossible with God? Amen. Now, not everything is God's will, but anything is possible with God. God can suspend the laws of the universe if he so desires, if it is within his will. Nothing is impossible with God. Let's look at verses 39 and 40. In those days, notice, Mary was intrigued. She might have been curious. She might have been a little bit nosy in this moment, because she wanted to see Elizabeth. In those days, Mary rose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Why? She wanted to see a pregnant Elizabeth. Mary was thinking Elizabeth was too old. She can't be having a baby. But she was. Look at verses 41 and 42. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Now, how did Elizabeth know that? Mary wasn't showing. Mary hadn't said a word. This was a prophetic utterance from Elizabeth to Mary. Remember, Mary is 14 or 15. Mary's not married. This is a problem. Remember what I described last week? But Elizabeth proclaims the blessing and the prophecy on Mary. Even at 14 or 15, she's not even married. Elizabeth says, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed." Not only blessed, he is the Messiah. So now, who does this sound like? Elizabeth's blessing, who's it sound like? It sounds just like Gabriel, doesn't it? It's the same thing Gabriel said. And look at verses 43 through 45. "And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." This is all prophecy. Elizabeth wouldn't have known that. And by the way, the baby wouldn't have known that, but this was John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb, who was the forerunner, the Elijah that was going to come. She's saying, "Mary, you are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said." Christian, no. The Lord is going to do what he has said. And you better be ready. Right now, if you're a prophecy watcher in Israel, all this stuff's going on in Syria, folks, it could happen like that. World War III is all staged. It may or may not happen, but I'm not going to walk away and not tell you that we're in the end times. We're as close as we've ever been. This whole thing with Syria is just a part of Israel being surrounded. Just watch and see. You know, Jesus came the first time as an infant. The next time he's coming, it won't be baby Jesus. It will be warrior King Jesus. And it will be the rapture. It will be the advent of all advents. And you need to be ready. And part of this being ready is saying this, "Lord, thy will be done. I surrender to you." There's no one else on earth to surrender to except for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now understand this. When we surrender, our lives may not get easy. understand this. Mary was going to endure all sorts of trials, and as she walks and continues to process all that is going on, that had to be mind-blowing. And here she is. She's going to go to Joseph and face all the public ridicule and all the things that will happen. And then she walks throughout her life, pondering all these things in her heart. And then at the end of her son's life, she sees him hang on a cross, beaten, and dies a terrible death, suffocating on a cross. That had to break her heart. It wouldn't mine. Wouldn't it yours? But Mary understands surrender is not just a moment in time. It's moments all of the time. We all have something to surrender in our lives. We all have those things that the Lord is whispering to us that we need to surrender. What is God calling you to surrender? Your children? To put your faith and trust in the Lord for their care and protection for their lives? Your spouse, your relationships, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your finances, your health, your circumstances, your worries, your fears, your education, whatever it is. This is a holy moment, a moment of surrender in your life. God is calling you through His Spirit, prompting you. When do you say, I am the Lord's servant, may it be done unto me? When do we say that? Understand, surrender is not just a moment of time, it's moments all of the time. There's a guy named Bill Wilson, if I'm getting his name right. He was a co-founder of AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. He was so far gone as an alcoholic that there was just no hope. And he even went to his doctor and he said, I'm an incurable alcoholic. Is there anything you can do for me? And his doctor said to him, the only thing I know to tell you is you need to go get religion and you need to give your life to God. And that's what Bill did. He went and surrendered his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, because all he knew was that every transformation in life occurs at that point of surrender. Now, if you Google Bill Wilson and you study his life, that surrendering moment freed him and healed him from alcoholism, but the guy was still messed up. He still had a hard road. He undulated up and down like the Apostle Peter did. He struggled. But in that moment, he was healed. And if he would have surrendered more of his life, I believe the grace of God would have sustained him in his walk with Christ. As it was, he still struggled. And a lot of us, we turn our lives over to Jesus, we surrender, but we don't surrender at all. And maybe you're at that point where you've given your life to Jesus, but you haven't surrendered at all. And that is what you need to do in this Christmas moment. Will you please stand as I pray? Eternal God and Father, we are grateful for this time. And Father, we're thankful for moments in our lives, and particularly Christmas moments. And Father, we just pray that you would do your work through your Spirit, by your grace. And Father, that you would move in our hearts, in our lives, and prompt us to surrender to you. Father, it may be the first time. Somebody might be skeptical that there even is a Christ, that there even was a baby born in Bethlehem that died for the sins of the world. Father, it might be an opportunity to surrender a part of their lives that they've never surrendered ever in their lives, and they're still holding on to something that is preventing them to have the relationship they know that you desire to have with them. Father, in this moment, we just pray again, that your Spirit would work and move to deliver and to guide, to redeem and to heal. And Father, do your work. Father, we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.